In Romans chapter 6, verse 16 of the King James Version, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, your servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin." The American Standard Version is, "Whereas ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness."
First tonight, I'd like to thank all of those who helped us unload Julia Burton this afternoon. We had about a dozen. We unloaded her truck in about 25 minutes. And I appreciate the response that so many of you give when there is a request. Even taking into consideration Gary McKnight and the others who are of the Crimson Tide, I'm glad we're still volunteers. And we do appreciate all of you who volunteer and help in so many ways. And I hope we have that attitude of being volunteers as we look toward next Sunday. David Sain will be here Sunday night through Wednesday night in connection with our gospel meeting. And this year, as we did last year, we're combining this with the Christian training series. There are flyers on the table here that you may pick up and take with you to help advertise. The front of the worship bulletin has information on it about the meeting. There are some yellow sheets here on the table for those of you who are interested in being involved in the Christian training series on a daily basis. We'd like to ask all of you to do everything you can to make plans to be here for our gospel meeting and to tell others about it. Since the meeting is beginning on Sunday night, we're not having a noon meal as we normally would, but next Sunday night, following the evening service, we want to have a finger food fellowship inviting the CTS people as our guests. We'll probably have 30, 40, 50 of them present next Sunday night. Some of them will not be here. But we want to ask you to plan to be here next Sunday night and to bring finger foods. And let's have that opportunity to get to know Brother Sain and to also to invite the Christian Training Series participants as our guests. If you will just bring enough for yourself and one or two more, and maybe each one bring a two-liter drink or a gallon of tea or something like that, we should have plenty. That's next Sunday night after the evening service. Tuesday is July the 4th. Tuesday is Independence Day on our calendar. Probably during this week, we will hear the word independence and the word freedom used more than we normally hear either of those words. It is fitting that we stop and think about our freedoms. It may be that we are taking many of our freedoms for granted. It may be that changes are taking place in this country that we call a Christian nation. They're taking us in the direction of where we could lose some of our freedoms if we're not careful. I think it fitting tonight, since this is the weekend just before Independence Day, that we think about the subject. And I want to make a statement tonight in two words, and then look at God's word in several passages to defend that statement that I make. And the statement is, independence depends. Independence depends. Freedom to 100% is described by another word called chaos. If we had no laws and no standards and were subject to nobody or anything, we would be living in a state of chaos. And that's not what we want. The dictionary defines independence or independent and freedom in a way that may be a bit different from what the reality of the situation is. There are other parts of the definition, but under the word independent in Webster's dictionary, he says, not subject to control by others. It may be that most of us would like to have that kind of independence. Not relying on anybody or anything else. Is that the kind of freedom that we want? That's the reason I say independence depends. If we ever get to the point that we think we need nobody for anything, that we need not rely on anybody or anything, that we are totally free ourselves, and that we're like that commercial of some time back, I'd rather do it myself, when we're dealing with anything, perhaps we have problems. Freedom is defined in the dictionary in one sense as absence of constraint in choice or action. Is that the kind of freedom that's talked about in the Bible? Is that the kind of freedom that you and I really want in this country? Let me ask you a question. How would you like to drive on our roads if we had that kind of freedom? Sometimes you may think we're not far from it. But if we had the absence of constraint in choice or action, to where everybody could just decide where he wants to drive and when he wants to drive and how fast he wants to drive, would you want to be on our roads? Is that the kind of freedom that we want? Another definition under freedom is liberation from power of another. Now, of course, when our country began, there was a desire to have liberation from the power of the mother country. And certainly there was a desire to have freedom and independence in that sense. And when our Constitution was signed and our nation began in reality in 1776 on July the 4th, there certainly was an interest in being out from under some powers and some restraints. But do you think that the founding fathers of our nation had in mind never having any power, never having any authority, never having any restraints at all? That wasn't what they had in mind. You and I talk a lot about the freedom and the independence that we have in Christ, and I am so thankful that God has given us the freedom of choice. I am so thankful that He will not force Himself upon anyone, and you and I do not have the power to force Him or a belief in Him upon anyone. I am so thankful that He has given us the freedom of choice. But does that mean that He has given us a freedom with no restraints, no guidelines whatsoever, no authority whatsoever? I don't believe so. And so that's why I make the statement tonight that independence really depends. And the kind of independence that you and I want is going to depend upon some guidelines. If you have your Bible, you may want to follow along with me. I just want, for the next few minutes, to look at some passages of Scripture on this subject, starting first in John 8. John chapter 8, you're very familiar with verse 32, but I want to start at verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, "If ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Down in verse 36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Now, is the freedom that's being talked about there unconditional? No. He said, "If you continue in My word, here are some guidelines. Here is a standard. Here is some authority." And He's talking about freedom. He's talking about the fact that the truth will make you free, and true freedom is in Jesus Christ. But He starts out by saying, in this situation where you're going to be free and have freedom in Jesus Christ, you've got to take into consideration that there are some conditions. Independence depends on accepting truth. And that there is a difference between something that's right and something that's wrong. That everything is not in the gray area. And that we can know the difference between what is right and what is wrong in the revealed word of Jesus Christ. "If you continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed." James mentions something to this effect in the first chapter of James at verse 25 when he uses some words that, according to the dictionary definition of freedom and independence, would seem to be contradictory. "Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty." You mean liberty has a law? "Whoso looketh into the law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Now, he's talking about God's word and spiritual things there, of course, but the principle applies as far as our nation is concerned. Liberty does not exist without some laws and some guidelines. He says, even spiritually speaking, you're going to look into the law of liberty. Liberty is involved, but there are some laws involved. There are some standards that must be understood. And so independence depends upon accepting truth and that truth exists. In the second place, I believe independence depends upon morality. Turn to 2 Peter, the second chapter, verse 18. And we're living at a time when in our nation one wonders if some people believe that there is any importance in morality. Some have even suggested that there should not be any restraints, that anybody ought to be able to do what he wants to. Beginning in 2 Peter 2:18, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. Those that were clean escape from them who live in error. Notice verse 19 particularly. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. It's interesting that that was written almost 2,000 years ago. Sounds like it might be written today. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they've escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. And that reminds me of a passage that's found in the book of Galatians at chapter 5 and verse 1, where he says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And here's the statement I think we need to underscore. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't let your liberty become a yoke of bondage. Don't think that you can be so free and so liberated that you have no moral principles and that you can just do anything you want. You remember what happened when another king arose that knew not Joseph, Exodus 1:8? And I think you could see there that in a sense that's saying one arose who knew not God. He didn't know what Joseph had been standing for. You remember the last verse of the book of Judges where every man did that which was right in his own eyes? Every man became his own standard. You remember what happened in these cases relative to bondage? When a new king arose that did not know Joseph and did not know God, you remember what happened to the children of Israel that resulted in their bondage? You remember what happened during the time of the judges and the kings? When they said, let's do what we want to, every man does that which is right in his own eyes. Folks, if we have a society and a setting where everybody does that which is right in his own eyes, and that's another way of saying everybody does his own thing, that's another way of saying consenting adults ought to be able to do anything they want to. Are we not saying that morals do not matter, that morals are not important? And again, we go back there to what Peter said when he said, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. Independence depends on accepting some principles of morality. Go next to Romans 13, and notice that independence means accepting some authority in government. Oh, independence, the dictionary says, means you're not under any restraints. Is that really the independence that we have and want in this country? You know what's in Romans 13, the first verse, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whoso therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to great works, but to the evil. Wilt thou there not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But, not unconditional, here's a but. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Now he's talking about rulers, and he's talking about an idea of being free and having rulers that protect us. And that's what he's saying there, that the rulers are not a terror to the good. They are to protect the good. But don't you see there the idea of power and authority with the rulers? Can we ever have independence if we do not have some authority in government? And you go back and study what was said by most of our presidents down through the years, those who were involved in the signing of our Declaration of Independence, and those who have been the leaders in our country for many years, and you'll see people who believed in God and even put in print that if we ever get away from God, this nation will not stand. They realize that independence depends on accepting the fact that even the authority of the rulers of the land is an authority that comes from our Heavenly Father. And when we have rulers who do not respect God, whether it be in this country, Iraq, wherever it is, then we can expect problems to come because independence depends. And I suggest to you tonight that if we take God out of our government, we will lose our independence and our freedoms. Independence depends. But independence and freedom also depends upon relationships. If I were the only person living and I did not have any relationship with anybody else, I'd have a whole different ball game. But the fact that I and you live among others means that we have to take into consideration our relationships. Look at 1 Corinthians 8, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 9 says, "But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours," now we're on target, I know we're on subject, "take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak." I've got to take into consideration other people when I'm thinking about liberties and my liberties. And in Galatians, the 5th chapter and verse 13, Galatians 5, 13, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Independence doesn't mean that we have the right to run over other people and the feelings of other people. It depends upon a sensitivity in our relationships with others. And even in the church and in our families, if we ever get to the point that we are not sensitive to other people and we just think about ourselves and the idea that I'm free to do whatever I want to, we're going to have problems in the community, in the church, in the home. He says, don't use your liberty. He's talking about freedom. He's talking about independence. But he says, don't you ever use that liberty to run over other people, but by love serve one another. I just mentioned the family there. Let me back up to the 7th chapter of 1 Corinthians at verse 39 and read a verse. "The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth, but if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married." Here's some freedom. And this could be expanded to talk about the liberty that a person who's never been married has to marry, and other liberties that are associated with marriage and the family. But I didn't finish that verse. "She is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord." And I believe the primary meaning of that passage there, "only in the Lord," means only according to the guidelines and standards that God has given in His marriage laws. Only in the Lord. She's at liberty to be married. We've almost come to the point in our nation where anybody is at liberty to be married to anybody else under any circumstances and quit it under any circumstances. God says you've got some things here on which this independence depends. And if you're going to have real freedom and real independence and real joy in the marriage relationship and in the home, you need to stop and take into consideration the guidelines that are given by our Heavenly Father. And then there is the spiritual side of it, which we've sort of been hinting at as we've been talking about all of these points. And while we're there in 1 Corinthians 7, notice verse 22. "He that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant." Now, wait a minute. We're free, but we're also a servant? That's what he says. There's no such thing as 100% freedom in religion. And this idea of misunderstanding the subject of God's grace and tying that to complete 100% freedom is bringing about a lot of problems. And now back to the text that was read in our hearing tonight from Romans 6. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? God be thanked, you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. That makes us free, doesn't it? Yes. But look at the next verse. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. At the very point that you became free from something, you became servants to something. And this just emphasizes what I've tried to put across in every point tonight, that independence depends. You don't have such a thing as complete nth degree independence and freedom that will work. That's not what true freedom is. That's not what freedom in Christ is. We have the freedom to choose. We have the freedom from sin. But it depends upon our becoming servants of righteousness and servants of Jesus Christ. Independence depends on truth, morality, authority, relationships, even in the home, and being servants of Jesus Christ in his body. And if we don't understand that, we will never enjoy true freedom in Christ or in this country. We need to thank God for our many blessings throughout the year and especially at this season. We need to thank God for America. I'm glad I'm an American. But folks, we need to be sure that we do not take our freedoms for granted and hide our heads in the sand and think that we have no responsibilities. And we need to thank God so much for the freedom and independence that we have in Jesus Christ. I can develop a relationship with Christ and God, and it doesn't depend upon any other person as far as making that decision is concerned. But it does depend upon my having the right relationship with other people, and especially having the right relationship with Christ and with God. May God help us to count our blessings and our freedoms. May he help us to do everything that we can to keep this nation great and to protect the freedoms that we even enjoy in this service tonight. And may he help us to appreciate what freedom really is in Jesus Christ. And help us to be committed to be true servants to our Lord based upon his word, where we will find true freedom in this life and the real benefits of it in that life that is to come. If you are a servant of sin tonight and you've not become a Christian, you can be made free from those sins. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you're willing to repent of your sins, confess his name, you can be buried with him in baptism for the remission of sins, and you can be free from all past sins. But you will just be picking up to serve the Lord. And enjoying that freedom means living for him. If you've not been doing that, you can receive forgiveness from your sins. God will once again help you to enjoy that true and great freedom that is found in being a servant of Jesus Christ. If you are not a true servant of his, you don't enjoy true freedom. But you can by coming as together we stand and sing.
There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's one.